Off the ball, rugby.
This was always going to be a tough year for Ireland and Leinster after giving so many players to the Lions. And I think Alan and I said in October, the only time we can assess this Irish team is at the end of the Six Nations.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod. It is one of the busiest weeks of the Gaelic football season, one of the most important weeks of the Gaelic football season. We've just had the penultimate round 6 of the National Football Leagues, and we're heading into round 7. Some things have been decided, most things are still up in the air, and it's all going to come to a conclusion this Sunday. Delighted to be joined, as always, by Paddy Andrews, coming in hot from Croke Park.
Tia Gwich, shocked at the Gaelic this week.
Mohan Farah Fodhry.
Yeah, Lyle Pádraig tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. Seamus O'Donoghue, Conas Tátu.
I'm very well. That was a nice voice you had there on the intro, Tom. Kind of dropped it down a couple of notches. You were kind of talking a bit like this.
Well, Paddy's in Croke Park. James is in
Croke Park Studios here, yeah.
Croke Park Studios. James is in, are you in?
Not working.
Abbey Field, as Paddy says.
Abbey Field. And I'm broadcasting from the home of the Sligo County Champions. I'm in Riverstown in Sligo here. At my cousin's.
Truly a nationwide pod, aren't we, like?
Yeah, exactly.
Is everyone in bed or what, Tommy?
No. I left the boys in the farm this morning. I learned what a piggery was this morning. Kieran McGeaney told me about it a couple of weeks back. By God, when I was shoveling shit this morning for 2 hours, I knew rightly what a piggery really was. So, that's the crack. How are you boys? Are you keeping good after the weekend itself? It's Shamrock Gales who won the Sligo County Championship. They're part of the Riverstown Parish here, so they're the county champions. So, yeah, we're going to go for
it. It was a mad sporting weekend, wasn't it? Between the rugby.
A lot on,
the rugby. Yeah. The rugby was good, like, to be fair.
Yeah.
Oberg looks so good. He looks so good going into the final day of the players.
Yeah.
Premier League, Liverpool, Spurs, slow horse race there. I was hoping for more of a scandal. I was hoping Spurs would get done again.
Yeah, we tip water for them to hurling. But lads, we can't go any further than the Gaelic.
Jimmy was going to let Jimmy off there. Go on. You want to say something there, Jimmy?
Come on, James.
No, I was just going to say the blondy English fella.
You hate that guy.
What was he doing? Like, just go down, hug the ball and give it back. I do not know anything about rugby. But how he knocked it on there. Criminal. We had it won. We were going to win the whole thing.
Jimmy, you should be
fucked that up.
Off the ball, get rid of Quinlan, get Jimmy in to do the rugby.
Love it. That would be brilliant. That would be brilliant.
To be fair, it was a nice kick to win it by the French out half. You'd appreciate the good kicking at the moment because the standard of kicking has been very ropey in the Six Nations.
A nice kick to win it. That was some strike, wasn't it? Thomas Ramos. He was reckless all game long.
I don't think the camera angle in rugby does it. Like, it looks a lot further at times, I reckon.
Okay.
So you reckon it should be, it looks easier, Jimmy?
No, it looks harder.
Okay.
It looks harder. But they could only be 20 or 30 metres out sometimes, and you're like, whoa, this is tough. Do you see Johnny Wilkinson's clip of him kicking from the angles?
He's a sicko, isn't he? Like,
did we talk about that already? He is a sicko. Surely that's the number one job of the out half is the kicking.
Did the Crowdy play a bit of gas? Surely he did down at Cork.
I don't know. Maybe.
But he would have played at some point. It's surprising that the Irish lads aren't great at the old kicking. And they consider they would have probably all played a bit of soccer, a bit of gas. Like, normally that's bread and butter for the Irish lads.
Anyway.
I digress.
You don't like the rugby, Tom?
I do, but no, it wouldn't be top tier for me, no. No. I loved it. I tell you what. I loved it when the going was good. When the going was great.
Oh, bandwagon. Hey, we're back. Ireland are back, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I actually preferred it when we were underdogs. I loved that Munster team in the 2000s, even though I was a Leinster man. But yeah, let's get into the football, lads.
Sorry, it's actually over.
It's football, done. Football, let's go football, to Division 4 of the National Football League. Forget about your Six Nations table and all the, you know, the different permutations that happened there. We have got 7 teams within 2 points of each other in Division 4 of the National Football League. It is reckless. Leitrim bet Longford by 319 to 115. Bit of a shock, that one, given the form lines the last couple of weeks. Antrim took care of Waterford. Antrim have steadied the ship over the last little while under Mac Doran, which has been important for them because they needed it. Wicklow defeated Tipperary Paddy by 319 to 13 points. And perhaps the result of the weekend in some ways, top of the table, Carlow beaten by London.
A late surge for promotion, yeah.
A sensational result from Michael Maher's side. And, you know, Shea Rafter, Liam Gallagher, Joseph McGill, all kicking a clatter of points. And, Kieran Diver as well with a couple of scores. I need to put a bit of respect on London in the power rankings. I hadn't been respecting them up to this point. And we have, you know, a table there, Paddy, with Carlow still on 8 points, Wicklow with them on 8, London on 7, Longford on 7, Antrim on 6, Tip on 6, Leitrim on 6. But essentially, if Wicklow beat Longford and Carlow beat Leitrim, they should be promoted on the final day of the season. But it's really chock-a-block there.
Yeah, but it's class across all the divisions. Like we always say, Division 1 is probably the least interesting when it gets to this point of the season. We the Division 3, shootout basically as well between Wicklow and Wexford. You say 7 teams gunning for it. It looked like Carlow were going to run away with it. They were promoted, but they've hit the skids the last couple of weeks. London, what a story that would be in terms of gaining promotion. We're saying Antrim were just slow out of the blocks completely. Like, what's going on there? And all of a sudden, they've got their wins on the spin. So, Division 4, Division 3, Division 2, everything up for grabs. Division 1, the relegation side of things. It's why the leagues are, every week, we keep saying it, it's a brilliant, brilliant competition. Last weekend was good. This weekend coming is probably more so even than the finals. I think league finals are great for teams to get into Croker and all that stuff. But the final round of the leagues, with so much to play for every team, it sets it up nicely. It sets it up very, very nicely.
Yeah, Down took care of business in Division 3, as we expected. Swift return back up to Division 2. They had a good win over Sligo, put them away in the end. And then possibly one of the results of the weekend, Wexford going down to Cusick Park and Clare and essentially putting Clare out of the promotion stakes again. Yeah. Another year where Clare let promotion to Division 2 slip by. They were beaten by Wexford, which means that Wexford and Westmeath, given that Westmeath is putting Limerick in real relegation bother with a brilliant win from Mark McHugh's side, Wexford and Westmeath this weekend is pretty much a shootout to join down in Division 2 next year. And like, look, that is going to be a cracking game of football this weekend.
Westmeath can get a draw. Westmeath can get a draw, which would be enough for them. But Wexford, like, scoring very, very freely. Tough one to call. I would have thought Westmeath would go up with them. We said that right from the start, and they still might go and beat their Leinster rivals there at the weekend. But I think it's a massive game there. To get promoted, like Wexford to get into Division 2 would be unbelievable progress for them as well. So, like I say, it's so many games this weekend. Like I'm intrigued to see who they have on telly. Who do they give the airtime to? TG can probably, or Matt Carey will probably be on, I'd say.
I'll tell you now, Pat.
Do you have it there? Do you know?
Seeing as you asked the question, and James, you get thinking there, because I'm going to come to James on what his biggest talking point from the Division 3 and Division 4 were in a second. But this weekend on TG Carr, the live TV games, Saturday evening, we'll give it to the hurling, Limerick and Galway, 7 p.m. On Sunday, Kildare and Louth is live in the football in Division 2. Wexford and Westmeath that we just mentioned in Division 3 is live on the TG Carr app. And then a crucial game in Division 1 that we will look at in depth a little later, Galway up against Dublin. And just to add to that, there's a number of other live games that are going to be live on the Sport TG Carr YouTube from the Division 1A Hurling and Division 1 and 2 Football on Saturday and Sunday. There's going to be, Radio 1 will have
Cork
a load of
Cork Tyrone is a massive game there. Yeah.
Off the ball, have a load of reporters out. We'll have plenty of games covered. Sport TG Carr's YouTube live streams on Sunday are the following. These are coming from Fintan O'Toole on the 42. He's always the quickest hack with
gospel.
With the TV.
Take it as gospel, yeah.
Yeah, Fintan's got it sorted. Sport TG Carr YouTube live streams on Sunday are Mayo Roscommon, Monaghan Donegal, Derry Cavan, Offaly Mead, Tyrone and Cork, fill your boots.
Tyrone and Cork there is the one. But like Cork are still...
Yeah.
Under savage pressure, because if Louth win, which I think they will, and I think Derry will win, and I think Meath will win, then Cork, Derry and Louth will all be on 10. Meath will go top, but Cork will miss out on score difference after that annihilation above in Celtic Park. Even after all their good work.
Yeah, Cork need a draw.
Is that Louth play Kildare? Louth, you would imagine, would be favourites against Kildare. Look, Kildare have to win. to avoid relegation. You would think so on form. That gets allowed to 10. Meath are definitely going to be off. So Meath are promoted. Derry, you would imagine, would be Cavan. So Cork have to be, like, Tyrone have to win. Tyrone have to be a draw.
A draw does the job. But the chances of a draw,
and we've seen
small.
Fellas, we've seen in the last couple of years where the way this happens, you know, and you know, Gaelic live tables, GA live tables on Twitter will have on Zone Rua going, the red zone, with all the tables being updated live. We've seen these games go down to the wire. Do you remember the weekend where even in the round robins, we had, you know, John Heston with a late free to knock Tyrone out. He just missed it by inches.
Oh, in the championship,
Aidan O'Shea dropped a free short. Shane Walsh kicked a free to do something to somebody. I think it was to relegate someone at the time. Yeah, or something like that, or knock someone out.
It
was championship, but in the league as well, there was something
similar. The final round of the leagues is savage. Yeah. It's one of the best Gaelic football days in the country. I know the hurlings this weekend, as the hurlers are always trying to nudge in all their talk, and they're trying to get a bit of airtime off the footballers. Get out of here. The football league finale this weekend is one of the best days of the calendar.
Yeah,
look at all the games we're talking about.
Just to give them a little mention there, BBC iPlayer and GA Plus are going to have Armagh and Kerry live on Sunday too. So they're giving us a little bit of something Kerry, as well.
Well, GA Plus.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. But we went up to...
Armagh and Kerry, they're still a little bit on the line there, James.
I think Kerry's work is done in the league, do you know? Will they be going up there, taking lumps off each other above? I think that game means an awful lot more to Armagh than it does Kerry.
Probably, yeah.
But it definitely means a lot to Armagh.
Be relegated if they... Armagh still might be like, alright, but
the fact Armagh are actually in the relegation battle for how good they are is incredible. They're an excellent side, aren't they?
They've been missing a lot of bodies, right? And I think the criticism of the goal chance, while they were close, they went six rounds or five rounds without a goal. Do you know, like, they needed that. They needed Connerty to do what Connerty did, where he took on the Dublin defence, and when the game was level, instead of going for a point, he bet another man and he rifled it into the back of the net.
He nearly took the net off with that finish.
Yeah, but I think the Armagh forwards are actually even sick of the criticism at this stage. Do you know, like, if you were playing on that team and everyone's saying, oh, they can't score goals, or they don't have the end product, they don't have the bit of class at the end, it's actually a big insult to you as a footballer. So I fully expect them to change that, to turn it around. And they already did. In fairness to McConville's goal, I thought that was a beautiful finish as well, with the left leg just to open the body.
Right, there's a lot happening, as we mentioned. That Wexford-Westmeath game is going to be really interesting. Wexford kicked 7 2-pointers at the weekend, but that wasn't even the most kicked by any team. We might have a little chat about Division 2 here. Meath kicked 8 2-pointers against Tyrone, and one man,
for them.
Jack O'Connor, who shot the lights out in the Tailteann Cup final a couple of years ago alongside Jack Flaney, went off to Australia for a year. Jack O'Connor with 1-8 in that first half.
You got 4 2-pointers, isn't it?
All from the same little patch of grass on the right, near the Kieran Whelan country, I would call it, where Kieran Whelan used to burst off the shoulder and curl a ball over or punt a ball over off the right.
It was a brilliant game again. Meath looked to steamroll Tyrone, and the massive question marks around Tyrone again. I don't think they've answered really any of them after the weekend, but they did get it back. We've seen this. We might talk about this separately, but these massive leads teams are getting, and every week there's a big swing. The Tyrone kind of get on top. They get a bit of momentum, and they have the forwards. Ethan Jordan in particular looks like a real find. Brilliant goal from him. He's had a really good league campaign for Malik O'Rourke. But for Meath, that 2-point weapon, they're one of the best exponents of it. It's such a tool for Robbie Brennan and those forwards. And it was a big to beat Tyrone. Robbie Brennan said it afterwards, like, to beat Tyrone, they've had a brilliant run in Croke Park. That's going to stand for them come the National League, or come the Leinster Championship as well later this year. And they play Offaly this weekend. You know, 99.9% certain they're going to get the result there and get promoted back to Division 1. So it's just every week for me, maybe a tough loss to Cork a few weeks back, but it just sees the momentum behind him again. And like Jack O'Connor now, to supplement Jack Flynn and Jordan Morris, Matthew Costello, these guys, it just seems more positive. bloody dub. There's like more positive stuff for Meath week on week on week. And Saturday night in Croke Park was just the latest example of that.
Yeah, James, we're just talking about the Meath forwards here. And Jack O'Connor with the 1-8 and 4 2-pointers in the same spot. Can I just mention one footballer to you before you get into a man who finished a goal or two? Just two footballers I want to mention to you, right? Jordan Morris didn't score until very late on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He was well marshalled in ways, right? But I think Jordan Morris learned.
Got to get used to it, yeah.
But I think he learned from last year and Donegal. I think Meade learned from it too, that when Morris is hot, he might be targeted by one of the best man markers in the other team. Jordan Morris created so much. He came out deep. He didn't play inside. The goal, James, the first goal, the Morris where he shapes for the shot with the right and plays the ball in. Beautiful stuff.
Yeah, I think Jordan Morris is one of the most exciting players in the country, without doubt. He's got a bit of everything, but he's so strong and solid as well when he's taking on his man. They're not taking the ball off him easily. And that pass for the goal, 90% of players don't see that pass. They see the shot, they see the white flag, you know, they see their own score. The fact he could pick out that pass was brilliant. And in fairness to Aaron Lynch, the finish was sensational as well, to go back across the keeper. And Aaron Lynch's finish for the second goal, I thought, was absolutely divine as well. Just to open up the body. I love to see that, open up the body and side foot into the far corner.
Like a power.
It's a soccery finish. It's not that blast straight at the keeper. It's just put it in the corner, the keeper's not saving.
A little bit of Cunha.
But the thing about Meath, if I was a manager, I'd want my team to play like Meath. Like they are. On the
foot. You loved them, Jimmy. You loved them.
I do.
They're exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, they're exciting. They're tough. They turn up in the big plays late in the game. They have forwards with dummies, sidesteps, a bit of class. Every time there's a man running ahead of them, they're kicking it. They're just operating at a higher level than most. And I don't know how the season's going to pan out for them, but from what I've seen, they look like they're going somewhere. Yeah. Like, they look like they're all in this together. I'd be shocked to hear if a Meath fella now dropped off the panel. Or, you know, you hear it in other counties, they're going this here, there, and everywhere. Like Meath, they're together, they're going somewhere. I just feel like
they're in a good.
If I was a manager, I'd want my team.
They're in a good place, and they've got a couple of boys back. Ronan Jones is on the panel at the weekend. A couple of interesting additions. Dara Canavan appeared for Tyrone this weekend. We all thought he was gone. We know that the Iran war scuppered the original trip, the US Iran war scuppered the original trip with the flight cancelled over Dubai that weekend. And then the talk was he'd be going to America. But he appeared, a very late addition, added to the Tyrone panel on Saturday. And then Niall Morgan didn't appear in the 26. So Tyrone's goalkeeper, Sean O'Kane, did very well. Young fella's second game this year. And Ronan Jones is back in the Meade. 30, we'll say. He was out training or doing a bit of a warm-up with the lads. So good to see that. James, let's just keep this Kerry Meade loving going a little longer, because we both had a win late last night with Jesse Buckley. Jesse Buckley's man was from Cameron Wood and Meade. Obviously, Clarny. So that was an incredible win for the great Jesse Buckley.
It was. I actually wronged her on a previous pod. I said she went to school in Clarny. She didn't.
She went to Tip, boarding school.
She went to the boarding school in Tip. But look, we'll claim anything. But yeah, unbelievable. There's signage all over town and it's exciting.
We'll get to Kerry's performance later on. We'll
get her on the pod, will she? It'd be nice to see to get the old Oscar on the pod.
She is a big fan of the pod.
So I heard. Yeah, big listener. Did she mention it in the speech last night? I thought I heard something about it. They cut it out.
She went on a bit long and then...
The unedited version, I thought she mentioned the pod.
Yes.
She got a shout out into all the mammies, and then I think they just cut the rest of it after that. Mm. Okay, one other fella from Meade before I want to get to Cork, right? Because it was a big win for Cork as well this weekend.
Meade, and then Loud. Jesus Christ.
Like. Rory Kinsella, an All-Star nominee last year. I think he's bringing his game to another level again this year. I don't know what you're seeing there, but some of the passes that he's pulling off, I might get in trouble for saying this, but on the same side of the pitch that Colm Cooper stepped back into a little pocket between James McCarthy and Keane O'Sullivan and found Donegal Walsh, found James O'Donoghue, the exact same replica of a move happened again. Did you see this, James, or did you miss it?
Yeah, no, I saw it. He did a couple of them. Yeah. He did a couple of them. That's what I mean, that they're kicking the ball forward. If a fella's ghosting into space, they're actually getting their head up and able to pick out a pass.
It's the vision, Jimmy, isn't it?
It's vision. But in these rules, the extra bit of quality is so obvious. It's like, he can play or they can play. Because some of it can be still a bit pedestrian or a coach. But when you see that little bit of quality to open up for goal chance and easy points And Kinsella is definitely, he's one of them. He's still very young, Tommy. Yeah. Is he 20?
Young man, yeah. A Gaelgeor as well,
he's very young. And he's grown in his position. He's grown at 11. He said, you're going to be 11. Off you go there. Learn the position. And he's thriving.
Do you know what I'm saying? My thoughts, not Cooch. Brian McGuigan from Tyrone. That kind of just link, smart link player, really selfless. And if you're Kinsella and you've got those guys inside, like Costello comes back, Morris, obviously, it's like you want someone who's going to supply, give me the supply line. And you're right, Jimmy, we said it all the time, the rules come in, they favour, they're all in line to promote the best skills. Space, kicking the ball, that kind of cohesion up front. And yeah, he's thriving in it. But I seen that play and I was like, Brian McGuigan.
Okay, I like that. Okay,
I tried to black out that Gooch kick pass. I don't like to go back to that.
I'm going to get in trouble. If I
keep... We should do a deep dive on that pass.
We should.
I enjoyed that 2 year spell we kept bringing down.
We should do a piece in our favorite.
It was like 2 seasons.
So show the last 10 minutes of that match.
Let's do a piece in our favorite passes in Gaelic football. Let's get to a team, right? We've talked a bit about Meath this season, possibly because they've caught the eye and they're one of the teams of last year that we wanted to see push on. Another team we wanted to see push on were Louth, the Leinster champions. And perhaps they've gone a little bit under the radar because of the stop-start nature of the first couple of games. But lads, they've taken down Tyrone in RD. They've now taken down Derry in RD with a win against Cavan in the middle. But the most impressive bit of the weekend was no Craig Lennon, who's been so important to them all this year. Kieran Downey was unwrist. He was on the bench after picking up a bit of a knock. Conor Grimes on the bench. Niall McDonald is man in the match in goals. Shane McGuigan didn't score for Derry. His penalty saved as well. Sam Mulroy with 1-6. Kieran McCardle, really impressed this guy in corner forward. Wins the penalty. He's always winning penalties or setting up goals. Kicks 2 nice points as well. And then off the bench comes young Tadhg McDonald, who was an under 20 star last year but featured in the championship. 3 beautiful outside of the boot scores. I think they were all against the wind, like against a really strong wind. Really impressive stuff from a Louth team. And Gavin Devlin, we met him last year. We did a little show up in Louth last year. We met Gavin. I think we were all really impressed with him. He's got them in a really nice place, and they have an outside shout alongside Derry now. They've dragged Derry back into it for promotion, and we were all raving about Derry before the weekend.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
Sorry, go on, Jimmy.
Go on. No, go on.
It was the same for Louth as a whole. Like, they only a month ago were questioning. They had a slow start to the campaign. That the task for Gavin Devlin, they haven't got a massive playing pool, obviously. But the big thing is, like, can we get our established guys back up and give them that edge again that got them to the top of the mountain in terms of winning the Leinster Championship and bringing through the under-20s players who won that Leinster Championship. Obviously, they got to the final. They were one of the best under-20s we've ever seen. Tyrone outclassed them. But can Lowe bring through, or Gavin Devlin in particular, bring through 3, 4, 5 of those guys to supplement the likes of Lennon and Mulroy? These Tommy Durnan, superstar players at that elite level. So and you said it, Tommy, they're dark horses in the mix. All the focus at the start of the campaign was Tyrone and Derry probably will go up. Then it was Meath and Cork, and now Louth on the run they've gone on with big victories. They go to Leinster Derby again against Kildare, who are fighting for their lives this weekend. You'd imagine Fáin Gael, Louth are probably going to pick up the points there as well, and they could potentially back at the Division 1. So it's just kudos to Gavin Devlin for re-energising that group, but also to the players. As you said, it's the marquee guys. Mulroy, obviously, a lot of focus is on him. But if Louth can get those guys humming and integrate those under-20s, which isn't easy. We've seen Offaly, Declan Kelly's been trying to do that with their team that won the 20s. We see with Tyrone and Malik O'Rourke, the massive expectation on him to bring through those successful 20s. It's not easy. It's not a guarantee to do it. But Devlin seems to have got them in a really good place in the space of a month. Because look back a couple of shows, we were all asking the question, going, are Louth kind of, the bubble has burst there, but it seems to be, it's well and truly back on the road.
I think he's an impressive character. He's a very good speaker. And I think we spoke about it on one of the pods before. It was like, he needs to get into these Louth fellas' heads and into their stomach and see their motivation again to get back at it, because obviously they'd reached the pinnacle. So he's obviously done that. That's one of the hardest things to do. Whatever about tactics and, you know, kickouts and conversion rate or whatever, to actually find the reason why for those lads and to make them go again is very impressive. The only thing is with obviously they had unbelievable underage success along with the senior success last year. It takes a long time to bring those teams through, I think. Like, the fact that they went to 17s and 20s, you know, they're still probably 3 years off, most of them. I think it's really, really hard. When I was under 21, I still felt off it. Now, the good fellas would come in. I remember Kieran Larry came in from Croke. He went straight onto the senior team. And, you know, there is obviously your good fellas, but that's rare at 21. At 20, it's so hard. You know, you physically...
He was the superstar, and to be fair, he's been impressive.
It's fine, you're hard.
It
takes a long time to get up to that level. I think the age is probably 22 or 23 now, where you're ready. I know that obviously you have your Kobe's and your Clifford's, but for every 100 players, you get one of them.
Just to mention, you know, we've mentioned the under 20 team of the year last year, and Dara Byrne from Mayo was on that 20s team of the year. We've seen him featured this year. Tomás Kennedy from Kerry, there's such high hopes from it, a very good start to the year. We've seen a bit of Rory McCullough from Tyrone, that's the full forward line. Owen McElholm, Paddy, I think you said this guy's got a bit of sugar last year. That guy is in the half forward line. He started. We've seen a bit of Senan Carr for Donegal, a little bit of him. And then in midfield, James Maguire from Louth and Sean Callaghan from Louth were the midfielders. James Maguire started at the weekend. He's been in the panels. Sean Callaghan's been getting a couple of kind of half chances too. But James started at the weekend. That was a big one. Let's see who else.
Tighe McDonald as well.
So that's two who started, yeah.
Yeah, so one or two per team is manageable. But the thing with Louth is they probably have such an influx now of fantastic players. Chomping at the bit to get back. When do you pick and choose who to put in where and when? Do you know when they're all probably such a high level? And
hey, Jimmy, it's a nice problem to have. They haven't got a massive playing pool, but it allows them to be really like, here's our group. Let's be really, really clinical with how we coach these guys. The success they've had underage. Gavin Devlin obviously was heavily involved in that, and his backroom with Tyrone underage teams there as well. So it's a nice problem to have. I'd love to have it on the Dublin side. Too much success at underage. It ain't happening up here. So. I just keep going back to what Louth are doing and the position they're now in again, where they could sneak something this weekend. They could sneak it.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to Division 1 after the break. There's just two quick ones that I want to get to. Just 625 people were in Tullamore. Paul Fitzpatrick of the Angle Set reporting it for Cavan and Offaly. It was actually kind of must win for the two of them if they wanted to kind of secure the place up. There was a disputed two-pointer for Cavan. Ryan Donoghue kicking it late on. The Offaly defenders all waved it wide, but it was awarded eventually by the umpire, a two-pointer. James, they weren't necessarily the sweetest goals, but I think there was three goals that were shots for points that dropped in over the keeper's heads in this game at the weekend, which wasn't great. Like, I think one of them was maybe punched in, but two dropped in.
That looks off.
The two teams aren't in a great place, but Cavan now... They've a good chance of staying up. They're playing Derry, but it's kind of out of their hands. They need to win that game, and it's in their hands. And Clare play Louth, so Clare need to kind of hope something goes their way as well on the final day. Offaly already relegated, same as Fermanagh in Division 3, already relegated. They play Meath, and then Tyrone are up against a Cork side, a Cork team who, like, there were 61 scores in the Meath Tyrone game. There was 59 scores in the Cork-Kildare game, 131-219. Stephen Sherlock, who I met on Friday night at the AIB Club Stars, the four codes were all celebrated, as we mentioned last week. Thomas Sullivan was announced as the Footballer of the Year after the club campaign, after a brilliant club campaign for Dan Ginnicoosh. But I met Stephen Sherlock, had a wee chat with him at it, and he kicked 10 points the next day. Chris Oak-Jones, 1-9. A couple of two-pointers.
Jimmy's boy.
Yeah.
But those lads were coming back from that Portugal trip. The bounce you get off that.
I told you that was a great time for the training camp after that 20-point defeat.
Yes.
Jimmy was giving out about this.
It would be hard. No, I'm saying they shouldn't have got the dusting beforehand. Like it would have hung over them a little bit. But in terms of your skills and everything, the bounce you get off, like Chris Oak-Jones and Sherlock there, the amount of shots they would have had at the post. The warm weather, the ball travelling way further in the sun. You thinking you're a great kicker. Do you know, it just all builds into the confidence. So I think that, those two players are certainly on.
Young Dara Sheedy up top as well, playing full forward. I think John Cleary's a big fan of this kid. He's featuring a lot of their league games, and he started clocking scores as well. 3 points the last day, four against Meath, a point against Derry, and a point against Offaly so far in this league campaign. For Kildare, God, they do not want to slide back to Division 3. They do not want to slide back to the Tailteann Cup. You know, they want to be able to stay up here. So they have a massive game. I think that game's at home, Paddy, against Loud this weekend.
Yeah,
I'm 99% sure. Yeah, okay. So that's a massive game for
Kildare. They'll be up against it. The two, the Tailteann Cup finalists, it was Kildare and Limerick in the final.
Yeah.
And they both really struggled since. You think that it was a chance for both of them to kick on. And the excitement around Kildare at the start
of the league really
was
like, well.
These fellas are onto something.
Yeah. Lots of young players, Jimmy, lots of young players. You're going to get that kind of inconsistency.
Yeah.
I keep going back that the Derry game in Newbridge. That was, they were in a great position to win the game. Conor Glass was sent off. They haven't seemed to have recovered from that. And like, I know they kind of got it back the last quarter against Cork on Saturday night, but they were well outplayed for most of that game. Not to say they can pull something out of the bag, back to the wall in front of their home crowd on Sunday, but if you're going on the form grind, and what we just said about where Loud are at, it's a big ask for that Kildare team to turn it around. And it will be a setback. There's no getting away from it. To get the motor back to Division 3 would be a bit of a blow.
For sure. We mentioned the 20s team of the year there. The 20s started at the weekend. One of the results of the weekend. So Clare bet Tipperary 116-111, a couple of late scores there. The Waterford Footballers, 4-11. Limerick under 20s, 2-7. Big win. And young Callum Royle off the bench with two late goals kind of sealed the deal there. But Waterford were in total control throughout that game. Limerick had a mad sent off early in the second half, but Waterford were 10-4 up at half time and just kept the foot down. And there's Connacht 20s this Wednesday night, Galway Roscommon, Sligo Mayo, Monaghan Derry, and then also in Ulster, Donegal and Fermanagh. So that's the 20s. It'll be an interesting competition again this year. James, we're going to come back with the Division 1 football at the weekend. I was down in Tralee for Kerry against Mayo, and we'll be talking about Galway Monaghan and Dublin Armagh after the break as well. And then we've also got we'll chat a little bit about why have I just missed the fourth game of the weekend. Roscommon's phenomenal win against Donegal as well. That word kind of came true, James, when I was down in Tralee, that there was a really sad passing in Killarney on Saturday, and it's someone who we would have come across in the pod as well over the last little while, and someone who was involved in Kerry football.
Yeah, a great friend of ours, Ali Favir, his name was. I know that a lot of people would know him around Kerry and Cork and further afield. He died on Friday, so he would have been a big friend of the pod, I suppose, and he always said a funny word, but the most happy, outgoing, nice fella, and it's so sad he's left behind, you know, his wife and two kids, and just a very tough one in Killarney. But it sounds ridiculous to say, but you know, I can't believe I'm saying it, but may he rest in peace.
Yeah, incredibly sad news, and I know you're all shook by it. So thoughts from the pod to his family. And
he would have owned the Shire Bar in Killarney, and he sponsored the East Kerry team that we were playing on that year. I think he sent you on jerseys and things like that.
Yeah, so they were extra small.
A little bit tight. Hugo wears it, but unbelievable news. Yeah,
yeah. He had the Bailey in Cork. I know a lot of people my age, maybe a little bit older, would have socialized a lot in the Bailey in Cork when he had that place. So yeah, it's so sad. You know, Killarney is absolutely in shock. In shock.
Yeah. Okay, lads, we'll come back after this, and we will we'll talk about Division 1 going into Round 7 this weekend.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We have got a big Round 7 ahead of us this Sunday. We've gone through some of the games in Division 4, Division 3, Division 2. We mentioned the 20s. The Division 1 table. After the weekend's results, so we had two very high scoring games at the weekend. Kerry giving Mayo a serious clipping, 229-19. It was tight at half time, but by God, there was a couple of power drives in the second half that were frightening from the Kerry footballers that we'll go through in a couple of minutes. Armagh, they came back from the debt. The Dubs were in total control and looking really good to secured essentially their place in Division 1 for next year, and they were caught by an Armagh charge in the second half. And Armagh with a big win there to put them in a much better position going into the weekend in terms of relegation. And then we mentioned it just before the break, we had Roscommon's big win against Donegal, 220-20, a massive wind in the hide. A lot of people would have been essentially back in Donegal at half time in that game, even though they were 10, 11 points down at the break. It was 113 to 5 points, 11 points in the difference. But Roscommon, their subs came on, made a big difference. Rory Fallon, Conor Hand, Shane Canaan, they all played a hand in a massive result there for the Roscommon footballers and Mark Dowd. And then the final game of the weekend, Rob Finnerty leading the charge for Galway with a 120-29 win against Monaghan, who we know they've been going down for quite a while, and they're in a very similar vein of form to the likes of Fermanagh and the likes of Offaly, who are at the bottom. And Gabriel Bannigan interestingly said, thank God we were in Division 1 this year, because if we were in Division 2, we'd be on our way into Division 3, given the amount of injuries that we have.
Worrying, wasn't it? I heard that comment. Jesus, it's tough place they're in.
Tough place they're in. And you'd imagine it's going to be a tough championship unless a lot of things change very quickly, but it's very, very difficult to turn that on its head. Oisín McDonagh with the goal for Galway in that game. And then the Monaghan goals came from Desi Ward and Micheál McCarville late on in that game. But that's Galway now on 6 points, Armagh on 4, Dublin on 4, Monaghan relegated on 0. And this weekend's game, see Galway go up against Dublin. It's a massive game. And we have Armagh up against Kerry. Kerry chasing a spot in the league final. They're alongside Donegal now on 9 points. Mayo and Roscommon, who meet each other, are on 8 points. That game is going to be a bit of an odd one, as they very well could meet. They're on a collision course in Connacht, these two, Mayo and Roscommon. So the winners of Mayo and Roscommon, if either Donegal or Kerry don't win, or one of them don't win, Mayo and Roscommon could be in a league final as well. So we've got two sides of the table here this weekend, fellas. What game do we want to start with? Will we go in two-footed on our man Dublin?
Yeah, do.
Paddy, Dublin. Take it away. Where do you want to go with this? Dublin were in such a good position in this game, man. They were in, and Armagh were out of sorts early doors. What happened?
Yeah, Dublin were 11 up, obviously, and then the last half an hour outscored 117 to 7 points. Dublin were really good in the first half. I have to agree, and they get lots of plaudits over that. Armagh were disgraceful in the first half. I've never seen them as bad. Like, we were on the WhatsApp, couldn't believe what we were seeing. Just everything about Armagh, their intensity, their athleticism, their running game, with the ball, without the ball, the hunger, the intensity they play at to get it back. They were in, first gear. It's like they were stuck in the mud. The Ross McQuillan, Gerry O'Byrne, these guys who have such athleticism. I couldn't believe what I was seeing from Armagh. And Dublin absolutely took advantage of that. Niall Scully, it was like shades of Paddy Clifford last year's All-Ireland final. He was just walking around the pits, no one near him. So it was like Armagh were so bad, but Dublin were really good. And it was the positives there. Again, Luke Brannock, 4 points, looks real, real fine. This is what Gerard Brennan's looking for. These guys who come in and go, there's a guy who can score. Paddy Small, injury-free. He gives Dublin something like Conn. He's just so direct. He's powerful. He'll take guys on.
Can I ask you about Paddy Small? Because I think it was a GAA analyst at the weekend, Darren Devine, who was on the Examiner pod last week as well, that picked it out. Paddy Small's little dummy, where he's running through and he throws up the right arm. So he's kicking it on his left, but he throws the right arm up.
It's a little shuffle.
The defender buys it and he just keeps going. I haven't really seen much of that before, but I love it.
Do you know what he's just such, we're talking Dublin when they're really stale up front, it's lateral, it's passive. He's so aggressive on the ball, but he's just injured all the time. Like, Dublin need a player like him to ask questions to defenders, take guys on, like we're talking about Jordan Morris type guys, just a handful. And Dublin in the first half, really, they nearly attacked like Donegal. Like Ger Brennan spoke about this when they played Kerry a couple of weeks ago, they played Kerry Kilkenny inside, played Conn inside, and they just started launching balls in. And it didn't work. But it was fine. We're trying to say it. We're going to try and be really direct. They've been trying lots of two-pointers. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. Saturday night, without Conn and Kieran, I loved the leadership that Scully and Sean Bugler kind of shown. Go, well, it's our team now. So that's a real positive. And they're really precise in their build-up, like Donegal do at their best. Keep the ball, top of the arc, waiting for guys to switch off, or waiting to get one-to-ones, like Luke Brannock coming around, getting 4 points, basically the exact same point. But it was really, really, it was a different side to Dublin's attack. So it was really positive. There's clearly something they're working on, and that was really good. But you go into the second half then, and a complete and utter systems failure around kick-out. And it's not this, Hugh O'Sullivan, I think, is a really good find for Dublin in terms of goalkeeping. He's had a really good league campaign to date. he's kicking out to a midfield of Charlie McMorrow and Pat O'Coughlin-Byrne. Again, I know Pat had a good year last year, but they're relatively inexperienced. But that seems to be a dynamic Dublin are going to try and go with these two cooler guys. And Charlie McMorrow is a really good young player. Owen Kennedy at wing
more
back.
More of a six, though, isn't he, Charlie?
I think they're going to try and give him a go because between him and Howard, they can kind of swap in and out. So all of those positives, younger guys who can stand up, that's what Jair's looking for. But when you go into a game in the second half and it's just complete annihilation of your kick-out. Not just that, but Armagh, McCabe, Tiernan Kelly, Ben Creeley bullied Dublin in the second half. And the big worry is, like, Hugh O'Sullivan will learn a lot from that, you would hope. He's a young guy. McMorrow and Padder, like, say, really young and experienced guys. You're looking for someone else to stand up. And Jerry Brennan kind of, like, gave it his post-match comments. It was like, yeah, younger players, they're going to learn from that. But where's our experienced guys to stand up and do that? It reminded me so much, Armagh were on the other end of this in last year's All-Ireland quarterfinal with Ethan Rafferty, where momentum was gone, and it just seems like everyone stops thinking, and we're just going to keep doing the same kick out over and over again. And I know the rules have changed. I know you got to kick it out, and it has to go past the 40-meter. But you have to, if you are a team, you have to have some sort of play where we are going to get possession here. You can't, I know McGeaney's kind of said it's throw it out to the middle, it's a piggery and all that stuff. You can't just accept, I'm just going to chip it out the middle every time and we're getting wiped. It cost Armagh last year, famously in an All-Ireland quarterfinal. It cost Dublin on Saturday night. It wasn't the only systems failure, but you'd look at, I have a separate point on this, lads. Like, Dublin were 11 points up and it's a 13-point swing. Every week, we are seeing teams, we've Kerry being 12 points up and Galway get it back. Galway the following week, 12 points up, and the Rossies come back. And I get it, there's windy conditions. That was not an excuse on Saturday night. I think teams are getting away with fucking murder with this. You blow a 12-point lead, and the first comment from everyone, Asher, it's the rules.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple of two.
You're getting a bit of a free pass.
I think it, absolutely. And it's every team, but it was Dublin were the latest iteration of this on Saturday night. I know the rules have changed. I know teams can kick two-pointers. But hold on a sec. If you were 12 points up in a match and you can't see that out, rule change or no rule change, you have. I'm not giving teams a free pass on this. What happens to a bit of leadership, scoreboard ticking over, maybe keep the ball, stop a momentum? Like, I just think teams are getting an absolute free pass on this going, sure, we were 13 up and sure, we didn't win.
Have we just lost the art of skullduggery and killing the game?
Yeah, come on.
So there are a few bits and pieces, all right, that are taken out of the game in terms of the slowing it down and the, you know, taking your time, maybe buying a free, but I completely agree. But like with Dublin at halftime, they must have gone into the dressing room thinking, this is so bloody easy. And just completely taking the foot off the gas. Like I don't think it comes down to too much even footballing reasons. It was just a complete taking the foot off the gas moment. And it's so hard to get it back. When the momentum is gone from you, to get it back is hard. It is, like, especially when the kick out is coming straight back over. And then when, I think it was McConville's goal chance where he did that finish where he blasted at the keeper.
Yeah.
Armagh won the kick out and the Dubs lost it. And Dublin's effort to get back and stop the goal chance it was like, did anybody have any interest in getting back? No. So it was a complete mindset switch at halftime. That was, they just completely fell
But that's what Armagh were like in the first half. I just found it bizarre that Armagh are a team further down the track to Dublin, like genuine All-Ireland contenders. And in the first half, honestly, you can read out the WhatsApp, I couldn't believe what I was seeing from Armagh. And in the second half, Dublin did the exact same thing then. Like, Dublin are not good enough to go into a game and be like, we're grand here, or the work is done. And just, I thought both goals, I thought the defending for Keane McConville's goal, and then Connolly's goal is brilliant. I get that. Keane McConville's goal is great. But defensively, you've got to look at that. And, like, right through the middle of the defence, like, Pat O'Coughlin-Byrne is about 7.5 foot. He's a massive player. Like, but Keane McConville just bounces off him for the first goal. And the second goal with Connolly, like, from a defensive point of view, you can't allow that to happen. And it was just, that was the malaise of just passiveness across Dublin in the second half. And Jerry Brennan said it afterwards. It's like, okay, kickouts can malfunction. And that's what happened. But there's also an attitude piece of, like, you need to be at it here. Like, no team is good enough to take the foot off. Dublin definitely aren't with all these new players. And they don't really have an excuse for being out-muscled, outworked. You had to respect a reaction from Armagh. There was no way they were going to be that bad again in the second half. Their players spoke about McGeady basically going through them for a shortcut at halftime, which was absolutely entitled because they were so bad.
And they had their little skirmish, which led to a black card and a yellow card.
That was a bit much as well from... I don't think Gerry Oak did a whole pile. I don't think McGeady did a whole pile. I don't think a whole pile happened on either side, but it was made a big song in that. But your luck. It's not the first time you've seen that type of thing.
McGeady's comments are interesting because even in the second half, Oisín O'Neill, who I thought had a brilliant second half, although he didn't score from play, he really did want to make things happen.
He had an impact on the game, yeah.
Yeah, but he brought the ball back outside the arc. And then he had an awful effort at a two-pointer. But Goff had his hand up for advantage. That was in the second half, after he'd given out to him. And he just pulled down the hand and cancelled the advantage. It makes the player look foolish when that happens.
It's a tricky one, because I think every team, and like we had this in a club game at the weekend as well, where when the hand is up, you have a free shot for a two-pointer. Now is the time to work the effort for a two-pointer. Yeah. So like you can understand.
We're saying that Dublin completely collapsed, but like Armagh turned it on in the second half. Like, as in some of the play they had, some of the pace, the power, the driving from McQuillan and Jarley Oak is, if you're not prepared to suffer, you can't mark those fellas.
Mikel Arteta here.
Yeah, it's just suffering for a long time marking those, because McQuillan kicks a point in the second half off the right, an absolutely gorgeous score. And like for a kind of an athletic player who's up and down and you think he's tired, the level of finesse to swing it over with the right was beautiful. Jarley Oak constantly off the shoulder.
He's a handful.
So easy for a 12 or a 10 to switch
off. The first half so inexplicable from Armagh. I couldn't believe what you were watching. When Armagh do that, they are absolutely one of the top teams. And this was the fear going in. I couldn't believe that Dublin were in the position they were in. It was brilliant. I was delighted at halftime. But the fear going into the game before throw-in was, do Dublin have the capacity and the capabilities to deal with a team like Armagh at their best? And clearly, we've seen for the final 30 minutes of that game, the scoreline was 117 to 7 points. So that's the quit. Like, for all the plaudits Dublin are getting in the first half, I have an asterisk beside that. It was good and players stood up, and which was nice to see, but they were playing against a team operating in first gear, as I said. The challenge for Dublin, they go to Salt Hill this weekend. Galway have to play for something, because if Galway slip up and Armagh be carried, then Galway could be dragged into it. And it's, can Dublin play and compete with teams like Armagh when they're in their pomp? And the answer on Saturday night was, the fear from the Dublin side was they wouldn't be able to, and it was clearly shown that. But Jerry Brennan giving the riot act to the players afterwards. You cannot be outworked. You got to have that. If it comes down to quality and experience in the other side, that's okay. We can live with that. This team's on a journey. But to go out and just be like, as you said, Jimmy, looking at going, what's happening there? Get back. Like, tackle. Do something. It was positive for Dublin first half, and then such a disappointment the final half.
No. I think Brannock's in trouble as well. Like, did he pop the shoulder? He looked in a lot of discomfort in the arm.
He's a brilliant find. I think they need someone like him, smart player, can kick scores. That's a massive positive. Like I said, Owen Kennedy at wing back. Hugh O'Sullivan had but he'll learn a lot from the kick-out situation. Charlie McMorrow, like I said, they like him. He's got something about him. Like I said, I'm not sure, midfield, Tommy, maybe. I think midfield is a bit of a land of the Giants that's going to be required this season.
But I was impressed in that club campaign at six and half
cool, it was brilliant. So they're positives for Dublin.
Okay.
Little signs, but anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Also, I've been very impressed with Keane McConville in this league campaign as well, for our man. I think he's taken on a bit of leadership there. And you mentioned the goal chance he missed, James, but the goal he took was
beautiful.
Nice finish, yeah.
I love when they slow up like that and just caress it into the corner. Like, for a goalie to save them is really hard.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Contrast that.
There's so much happening.
Connery's rocket after going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, well, that looked very impressive as well, to be fair.
That was 6 weeks of frustration for Connery, wasn't it? Missing a couple of chances, the penalty against Donegal. He was just like, I am kicking this through the net.
Love it.
I think Connery's been frustrated in the league because I think over the last year or two, he's been so good at 12 probably left off a little bit. You know, like you can kind of go, not under the radar, but you can get a lot more space out there. But he's so dangerous now on the scoreboard that he's being picked up a lot more. So I think he's had it tough. He's definitely had to kind of develop his game this league. But I thought he was another one who really drove it on the second half. He was brilliant.
Yeah, for sure. I mentioned Roscommon's win against Donegal. Like this was one of the big results of the weekend. Donegal coming down to the hide. You know, Jason McGee kicks 4 points. Langan kicks two-pointer in the second half. Conor Donald with two as well. They were against a strong wind. But Roscommon made hay early doors. Dermot Murta scores 1-5. But I was really impressed with Enda Smith again. Like such a Rolls-Royce of a footballer. Just doing it all. Blocking shots, setting up goals, kicking points. But Senan Lam, they're number 7, and Colm Deary, the cornerback from Strokestown, kicked 2 points too. I just think we need to put a bit. I didn't mention Peter McGrain's massive turnover for Armagh later on in the Dublin game as well. I know it was incredibly high scoring this weekend, but there's still some really impressive defensive moments too. And I thought Deary and Lamb were brilliant breaking out of defence as well, and some of their marking jobs. But Roscommon, they used the bench really well. And when Donegal came at them, when they got it back to a 2 point game, a 3 point game, Roscommon pushed on, and Conor Hahn got that late day goal. It was really impressive, and a really impressive point against the wind that seemed to go 60 yards into the air and drop maybe a yard over the bar from about 20 yards out.
But isn't that for the Rossies to supplement those brilliant forwards we had? Mm. Like the likes of Rory Fallon, obviously. And I like the Bridges lads coming back and having a big impact, because there was a thought that Bridges lads might be an issue, which I didn't like that kind of narrative around. So their impact at the weekend, but a couple of defenders is what the Rossies need, I would feel, to go to the next level. We know they've got the magic up front, but if they get these guys, like Lamb was very impressive, Tommy, I agree. Mm. Is there a Connacht Championship in this team? Everyone's talking about Mayo and Kobe and Galway and Joyce, and they're going for the All-Ireland. The Rossies are just building something nice under the radar there.
Yeah, very impressive. James, you were going to...
I was just impressed with the fact they went for the goal at the end. Was it Conor Hahn that got the goal at the end when he pans it?
Punch.
Like, they could have easily just stood there and not made that run and left him fisted over, realistically, because he was going to be caught up. But the fact they were willing to make that run late in the game, get the goal, get the win, that was such an important score. But it's so easy not to make that run to support.
Hand and Smith were tearing through on goal and support, and it was Conor Hahn to put it away. Donegal had, I think, just dropped a two-pointer short maybe, or hit the post just before that, and they broke at speed. Fimber Rorty, who we've been so impressed with, and as young footballer of the year, Fimber Rorty did something I haven't seen him do. He's still obviously under 20. He's still a teenager, I think. And outside of the left boot, two-pointer, he dunted that ball over the bar. Loved it.
I think it was a great bit of skill, but going down into that goal, the rain and the hailstone.
Let rip.
I reckon if you threw it up there at all, it was going over, was it?
Okay, yeah, probably. Two-pointer the weekend, James. This has to go to one man. Jack O'Connor described it as a lovely little golf shot. It drew in at the end. Like, the man was in the flow state. We spoke to him briefly afterwards. I think he had about 14 of my colleagues in the media pressed into a little closet in Austin Stock Park in Tralee. And we managed to get a couple of minutes with Seanie O'Shea after the game. There is very few fellas in the country that could draw on a ball like that, rolling out to him and curl it over the bar the way that he did.
Which 2 point do you run about there? There were so many good ones, but yeah, that was a great bit of improvisation as well. If he goes down on that ball, he's getting cut up, draws on it beautifully. But and Seanie was unbelievable. He got 11 points, just such leadership.
He's having a great week, Jimmy, isn't he?
He is.
But Jack, I don't Jack want was to, raving. I, Jack was raving about one man in particular after the game. Dylan Gale.
Should we know Dylan, friend of the pod? Dylan was brilliant. Obviously gets very lucky for one goal, but finishes the second goal brilliantly. And he looks so natural. His right leg, left leg, he's slow, but he's waiting for you to dive in so he can then inject that pace. And if you don't dive in, he's going to just chip it over. He just has both sides and such a dangerous player. But I have to say about...
He's going to have a massive year. I just feel it's like he had the year last year of being kind of, as we said, the conversation we had with him down in Dingle in January was like kind of finding his feet in the team, and obviously Clifford is beside you there, so you're nearly deferential to him. But he's done the year where, like, you belong at this level. Then he goes with the club and has iconic moments to win the All-Ireland with Dingle. You get a sense, he's seen it at the weekend. He's like, I totally belong here now. I've done my apprenticeship here. And the benefit he's always going to have is the focus. This is for all the Cutter Kerry first. The opposition is going to be so focused on Clifford. And now it's harder to get defences back and everything. But he'll have a little bit more space than he might have otherwise got. But he's just like Rob Finnerty with Galway. You do your year or two and then you go, I actually am good enough to be here and to take on responsibility, take on shots. And I look, as a neutral, I look forward to seeing Dylan Gainey and what he's going to do in that Kerry team this year, because I'm not surprised what he's seen on Saturday. Here's a guy who knows he belongs.
Yeah, James, like, as Paddy is saying there, he probably is so much more comfortable now, you know, nominated for a Club Footballer of the Year, wins a Club All-Ireland, you know, a friend of the pod, you know, he's no longer an acquaintance.
Friend of the pod is essential. You know, it is essential.
Very important. And, you know, there's also probably good vibes in that Kerry attack as well. Like, David Clifford's at his knees, curling over two-pointers, just to kind of remind everyone he's still there. And, you know, Shawnee's doing what he does. Keith Evans as well, James. I was really impressed with this kid too.
Yeah, like, the thing with Kerry, they're on another level at the moment. Like, themselves and Donegal, they're just
on but Kerry level. Are on another level, no?
But they're at, maybe, but they're at a level at the moment where they can play at 70%, make very few mistakes, no stupid mistakes, hit a conversion rate of 95% or something insane. The only man who missed was Clifford with it in front of the goals one.
Yeah.
So when these fellas are coming in, once they just, you know, show their stuff and not try anything outrageous, they're slotting in lovely, and it must be unreal to come into a camp like that. And, like, in fairness, I don't want to big up Kerry too much, but, like, when I see them dusting Mayo like that, I'm thinking these fellas are right in the middle of it. They must be excited. Even with the management team they have. You know, with Keane O'Neill, Donaghy, Jack. They're in great hands. They have the best player ever there. You know, with them then, they have some of the most experienced defenders in Jason Foley, Tom Sullivan, Paul Murphy. They have a really good going at the moment. It'll just be the case of keeping the pedal to the metal. But on Clifford, right, he was so good again. Like, he was actually laughably good. He threw over a couple of two-pointers with the left that no one else would be able to kick. And he makes him look so effortless, the way he buys the time to be able to make the room. And, you know, it's just a joy. It's a joy to watch him take games away from teams. And I think the whole championship this year, Jim McGuinness tried it last year. I think he nearly only matched up on Clifford in the final. Teams have to find a way to stop him. And it's nigh on impossible at the moment, but that's the key to the championship. I know we're talking about all these other fellas playing great stuff, but this fella is so bloody good. If you can bring him down from his 8 to, you know, to 4, you're in with a chance.
He sets up the 2 goals as well. He caught a couple of kickouts, and, like, when we talk about Kerry, and we know what they did to Armagh last year, like, they hit Mayo for 8 points in a row in the second half when Mayo were winning 9-3. And Andy was saying Mayo weren't even playing that well at the time, but Kerry hit them for 8 points in a row. Second half, they hit them for 1-6 without reply. Then they hit them for 1-7 without reply.
But that's the difference in quality. When they're picking the right shot and they're executing it properly. And nobody is taking on a shot that he's not capable of. And if it goes to Shawnee or to David Clifford or to Dylan Gainey first, it does. There's no question of that. They're just operating. You said flow state is actually a great state. The Clifford's operating. The whole Kerry team is operating like that at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see if they can stay there.
Paddy, do we just give them Sam now?
No, it's that the firepower they have is frightening.
It's scary.
They've got this guy, as Jimmy said, it was, look, how many times we talk about David? He is as close to unmarkable as you've ever seen in the history of our sport. I agree with the point. Teams can't, teams won't approach it like that. But that is a conundrum. You would hope that the coaches of opposing teams, teams who are competing with Kerry, either Cork and the Munster Champs, or teams trying to win the All-Ireland, you have to go in, and how innovative can we be? We need a way to shut down this Kerry attack, and Clifford is the absolute apex of that. This is the point I'm making, that it's not just a case of, we need to figure out and be really innovative of how do we secure possession from our kickouts and not just accept, oh, well, you have to just kick it out long, it's 50-50. How do we get innovative around minding the ball and keeping the ball and not allowing 12-point turnarounds happen. And if you're playing Kerry, how do we... You can't just say, oh, well, it's the rules and now there's loads of space, so we can't do X, Y, and Z. Teams have to figure out a way to get to grips with Clifford and try and shut him down. Because I agree with Jimmy. If it doesn't happen and everything just carries on as normal as it is, Kerry are too good. The win in the All-Ireland, what that does for that group, I agree, a bit of freshness with Donaghy. Like Jack O'Connor alluded to it afterwards, he was kind of asked about hunger and, you know, what could have just left it to the players and to see where they're at and they go out and perform because they're all competing for places. That drives hunger. That drives standards. They're in a brilliant, brilliant place. I think they're only going to get better. This ain't Kerry at their peak either in, you know, St. Patrick's week. So I think it's up to other teams to be innovative and go, we need to think of ways to play against that, to shut down their strengths, because at the minute, it is just developing to a shootout. And if you go into a shootout with Kerry, you ain't winning. Any team is not beating that Kerry team in a shootout.
It's a great place to be in, James. And, you know, Mayo made a couple of changes coming into it, as they have done throughout the league campaign. I think they pressed up high at times to try and shut down the space on you know, the likes of Clifford and O'Shea. And then they felt themselves chasing the shadows as well.
I think you can be brilliant at an awful lot of aspects of the game. Your kickouts, you know, you're tackling, you're filling the zones, you're this, you're that, the other. It comes down to conversion rate at the end of the day. And Mayo missed an awful lot, which would give you a serious boost and a bit of, you know, a bit of energy if they're going over. Instead, Kerry are going down and chipping over easy scores because they're making the right decisions. But even in the first half, I thought that Mayo actually stood off Kerry too much in the first half, especially after they went 11, I think they went 11-4. Brickenden was marking Clifford, but he was marking him, you know, as you probably would against the wind. He was marking him about 10 yards from the front. But then once Clifford gets it, he's able to take him on at a head of steam. And, you know, it needs nearly an extra man and an extra man again to come in and help. And they were kind of isolated at times with that. If you're going to play from the front, once the man gets the ball, there has to be the second man into him. So I must say I was disappointed with Mayo. At the back, I don't think they look as strong. I still think they'll rack up big scores. You know, offensively, they have a lot of talent.
Andy but was
defensively,
certainly,
they've worked. They have a lot
Andy
of work.
Moran was certainly disappointed as well. And I just wonder, with the likes of Dara Byrne and Kobe McDonald, still 20s, will they learn a lot? You know, we've spoken about Tralee being a measuring stick, you know. I saw Dara Byrne at one stage size up his man. And to me, it looked like he hesitated, like, I'm not going to take on Jason Foley here. And then he was like, oh, wait, I will. And he creates a goal chance. And he kind of rushes the goal chance. But, like, I don't know. Kobe had two good goal chances, fetched a great kick out early doors, set up a couple of scores, but probably would have felt a couple of the hits from the Kerry boys that were being laid on him as well. So,
hey, Tommy, that's why he played them. That's why Andy played. That's, give these guys a go. You're not expecting them to be absolute world beaters, and they will learn a lot from it. That's the purpose of it. It's the worry for Mayo, not worry for Mayo, the challenge for Mayo, and there was lots of momentum behind him. I mean, oh, the excitement, which is great. Like, the good results and Kobe coming through is like a superstar. But they played the two best teams in the country, who we said over the last few weeks, Donegal and Kerry are a step ahead of everyone else. And Mayo were a long way short in both those games. There's no harm or shame in that, but it's just a little bit of a reality check, which again is no harm, to go, okay, things are moving in the right direction. We're making progress. We've got young players, young forwards in particular coming through, but we have a bit to go before we are really at that table with Donegal and Kerry, who are just way further down the tracks in terms of their development as a team. So I'd say, Andy, as disappointed as Saturday will be, and the players, because they were hammered, it's a case of, okay, a little bit of a reset. All's not lost here. Like I said, it could be in a league final. If results go their way, they have the Rossies coming to town. They're still in a good place, but the expectations need to be managed a little bit, and that's what Saturday showed.
I think that's fair. Fellas, that's a good summation of round six. Plenty happening. Massive weekend ahead. We'll be back covering it next weekend. Like, it's going to be such a good day of Gaelic football on Sunday. Armagh, Kerry, Galway, Dublin, Mayo, Roscommon, Monaghan, Donegal. We've got to decide on the two league final places. We've got to decide on the second relegation spot. That Galway-Dublin game is going to be absolutely huge, Paddy. It's a shootout to stay up.
They went there last summer in the first game of the All-Ireland series and got a brilliant result, Dublin. That's what they're going to be hoping for again. I think they will learn a lot from that second half. I'm sure the whole week is going to be sent just dissecting what happened here? Here's the good stuff we did. What happened here in the second half? And also, that's sometimes teams need that type of performance and you take a lot from it. So that's what you're hoping on the Dublin side. Like I say, it's one of many, many storylines coming to a conclusion this weekend. It's the best weekend of the year for me in terms of the GAA Gaelic football calendar. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, James, 7 teams in the promotion mix in Division 4. Westmeath and Wexford is a shootout for promotion in Division 3. Limerick and Sligo are trying to save themselves in Division 3 as well. Cavan and Kildare fighting out to try and stay up in Division 2. And then you've got Cork, Meath, Loudoun, Derry in the mix for promotion as well. So hell of a weekend ahead. Boys, thanks so much for today.
Sound, lads. Have a good week.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch up very soon.
Cheers, boys.